What's up, everybody? Ben Ressa here for Stochastic, and it is time for the Players' Championship. PGA Strategy Show right here, right now, and it's a big one. Major level field. Drama, water, maybe alligators. I doubt it, but you never know. We're here to talk about the field. We're here to talk about the course. And most importantly, we're going to use our data to build some lineups, talk about lineup construction strategies, see what we've got. And it's all here at Stochastic. If you're not part of the team, hit the like button, subscribe to this very channel. And let's get into it. I do want to welcome everyone, of course. We're in a great stretch of Florida golf. We saw API last week. We'll recap that in just a second. Scotty Scheffler is taking over now. We're going to put him at the top of the board right there. But let's actually start there. I was going to talk about some other things, but really we should recap. Scotty Scheffler, when he putts, is going to be very tough to beat. And we saw it at Bay Hill last week. He took down the field in relatively easy fashion. He was his normal ball striking. He paired it with Rory, gave him the fix with the putter, I guess. And look at that. Now, other things that happened, you know, you're going to see some crazy results, even in an elevated field. Guys making Fleetwood made a 10 on a hole. He went bye-bye. Rory, a lot of water. He was plus one on the par fives. I tweeted about that. That's ridiculous for a guy that good. He got dusted by 13 strokes on par fives alone from Scotty Scheffler. And then we did see, you know, Wyndham Clark and some of these other guys put together, I'd say, a pretty damn good result. I know they didn't win because of Scheffler, but you've got to feel pretty encouraged if you're somebody like a Will Zee, a Russell Henley, certainly a Shane Lowry or Wyndham Clark. And these are going to be names that we're going to be getting to in just a second. So we're going to talk about that and plenty more. And listen, TPC Sawgrass, this course, let's give you the things we need to know. Obviously, they've got a lot of water, a famous island green on 17, where if you, you know, you could lose the tournament right there. But all in all, I think what we need to know, I don't think distance is a huge factor. You can get around this course without it. You need to be precise with your irons, and certainly you need to avoid water. I don't think that's really a skill. It's more just controlling your distance, not getting into trouble off the tee or with your approach game. One thing I do want to note, not with all my lineups, but it does look like they're getting a lot of rain and the course is going to be pretty receptive and soft. I do think you can build some lineups with that in mind. What does that mean to me? Slower greens, more receptive in terms of attacking the pins with the approach. I would say it boosts bad putters. I would say it boosts good iron players. And I think it would boost bad around the green players. If it's really, really nasty and guys can't hit the greens, certainly you're going to need to be able to get up and down to make your putts, to scramble. That might not be as important as it might once would be. Now, again, am I building all my lineups like that? No, but I did want to mention it. I think it's important to get a profile of what we want. But listen, this is the Players' Championship. The best of the best on the PGA Tour are here. They've been here in the past, the last couple of years. This has been won by Scotty Scheffler, defending champ, Justin Thomas types. Elite players. And maybe we see that again. Maybe we see the long shots. We've seen some long shots over the years. It was a different time period in terms of on the calendar, but I don't think that that's a huge deal. Let's get into it. No reason to waste any more time. We'll start with the top tier of players and we'll work our way down. I have up here the Data Hub, all part of Stochastic. Again, I'll show you how to get access to all this and more. We're on DraftKings. Let's start getting into it. Scotty Scheffler, Rory, Xander, JT, Cantlay, and Hovland. Scheffler's almost 13,000. He's going to be extremely popular. Even at that number, it's hard to deny it. I personally don't think that you want to make a stand against Scotty Scheffler. I don't think I'm looking to jam Scotty Scheffler either. Said this with Min Woo last week. I said this with a couple other guys. Scotty Scheffler's not going to define my Players' Championship. I think in single entry, it's a decision point. Obviously, because you can only have 0 or 100% of him. I'm more inclined to say 0% in those, just because I think the 27.5 could become 40, 50% in certain things. That's just a little too much at a volatile course. But Scotty Scheffler is the best player in the world. His betting odds are ridiculous. He's at around 5-1, where everybody else is 20-1 except Rory. There's not much to say. Now, it does bring up an interesting leverage spot for Rory McIlroy, who will be at least half the ownership, if not more, of Scotty Scheffler. He did not play well at Bay Hill. He showed flashes of it. Saturday was outstanding, particularly that back nine. But I already mentioned this, and I'm going to say it again. Rory McIlroy played 16 par fives at Bay Hill, and he was plus one total. That is just not good enough. He had a double. He went in the water three times on six, and he had four bogeys. He needs to clean that up. Off the tee, Rory is driving it. I mean, he always drives it good off the tee, but it's ridiculous. It's automatically dominant, best in the world. He's turning that into nothing. His irons have been not good enough, and his putter comes and goes. But having said that, I still, you know, I'm a big Rory guy. He grades out really nicely here. Big positive leverage, and it's pretty easy to see why. A lot of people want to go to Justin Thomas. A lot of people are going to want to go to Scottie Scheffler or build balance. You've got guys like Hovland as well. And again, this ownership will update. We're giving you some broad strokes here, so keep an eye on it. Again, if you're a Stochastic member, you'll see it as data comes in. But I think it's pretty safe to say Scottie's going to be the most popular play up here. And then I'd say Rory will be one of the lower owned. I think Justin Thomas will be higher than we're indicating right now, I'll be honest. And I like JT. I think that JT makes a lot of sense. I bet him in the betting markets, naturally. I think question one, Scheffler plus JT. What does it look like? Well, it's going to leave you four spots where you're going to have to dip into the 6 and 5K range and maybe a little of the 7s. It can be done. There's no doubt about it. Not my preferred build. My preferred build would be either having two north of 10 without Scheffler, or just a very standard either start with Scheffler, start with Rory, start with JT, start with Cantlay types. No strong takes on Xander, no strong takes on Hovland. Not really for me, but they're all world-class players up here. Priorities are going to be, you know, you're going to need to get a healthy amount of Scheffler. I like Rory and I like JT. I think you can make any combination of those guys. You're automatically in pretty good shape up top. But next question, do you need to start with any of them? I don't think you have to. It is my preferred build, but you certainly could go balance with Will Z, Decky, Wyndham Clark is here, Max Homa, Spieth, Morikawa, Aberg, Burns, Lowry, Cam Young. I don't think you want to start with the last couple names, but you could start with, like, you know, Decky, Morikawa, Aberg, Burns, go 3 9K and then three balanced, like triple and triple. Interesting build. Digging in here, you don't see massive in terms of spikes. I think Morikawa will be decently popular. Other than that, though, you know, it's really, I'd say, element of dealer's choice here. You could look to some iron stacks. You could look to some off the tee. Obviously, Will Z was outstanding last week. He's a player. We know what the problem is. He can't putt. Now, he did putt a little bit at API, but he struggled immensely on these sawgrass greens. We have seen it in 2023. He came in 73rd. He lost 7 strokes putting. In 2022, he came in 26th. He lost nearly 2 strokes putting. It's just not happening right now on these greens. Can he figure it out? Absolutely. Will he? I think that's the game we all play. We don't know. We just have to embrace that. If you're comping to Augusta, if you're comping to Waste Management, Decky obviously is going to get some boosts there, and it makes sense. Playing really good golf. He was 12th at API. Again, ball striking clinic. Putter solid. He actually didn't have a great around the green game, which is atypical. He's a really good around the green player. He's got it all, though. You know, when Decky putts, there's not much to say. Just a really solid play there. One that I do like this week. To me, when you look at everyone on the screen, I'd say that Morikawa is probably the most interesting. If this ownership doesn't decrease and he really is 20%+, that would be a tougher decision to me. I originally did want to get over on him. He's coming off a miscut at API, and I do think that'll shrink the ownership somewhat. But as I mentioned, soft conditions potentially. Morikawa is a deadly iron player, even right now when he's not playing great. He's so good with the irons. He's got to clean it up. He lost across the board at API, and his short game was horrendous. But it's still Colin Morikawa. It's still a name that I think you can get behind. Bottom of the range, Shane Lowry makes a lot of sense. Jason Day, to me, makes some sense. He's been playing quietly pretty sound golf. He's a name, you know, he's upward 60, 70 to 1 in the outright market. 6th at Pebble, 9th at Genesis, 36th at API. Despite losing a bunch on the approach, again, when you see crazy strokes gains numbers in Florida, keep in mind there's water and it can skew things. It doesn't mean it doesn't count, but it's not the same. In my opinion, at least. So I would say starting points here, Will Z or Decky. Morikawa, if you're going crazy balanced. I plan to be over on Decky. Morikawa pending the ownership. Jason Day is the guy that I like. Not really on Cam Young. Holman, Spieth, I'm indifferent. I don't really know what to do. They grade out pretty neutral here as well. If I get a little by, you know, when I'm running the Sims and whatnot, no problem with it, but it's not my my favorite thing to do either. Scrolling down a little bit. If you watch this video every week or you follow me on Twitter, at JazzRazDFS, and that's all appreciated. Tommy Fleetwood and me, we're not vibing right now. I really liked him last week. I thought it set up beautifully for him. And Tommy Fleetwood took 10 shots on an individual hole of golf. That is not the answer. He lost 8 strokes on the approach. That is not the answer. All of that was water related. Again, not the answer. Do I think that Tommy Fleetwood can bounce back here? Absolutely. Does that mean that I'm really honing in on him? Not really. He is going to be in the pool. There's no doubt about it. He grades out with slightly positive leverage. Ownership checks out. I think the price is reasonable. It's clear to me that more people are going to gravitate towards someone like Russell Henley or Corey Connors or even Tony Finau, I think, when it's all said and done. And I think that's more prudent. But Fleetwood, it is what it is. We really saw a big step back last week, but it was 2 rounds of golf and it was a couple holes that got away from him. Russell Henley makes a ton of sense. I think he's going to be cash viable for a lot of people. And he's just playing good golf. He's got everything you need. He can lean on the irons, Bermuda splits. He was 4th at API. He's putting the lights out. He's had 2 events in Florida here. He played in the Classic and at API. He gained 7 and 5.5 strokes putting. That'll play. But the guy I really want to hone in on, I'll tell you, I'll be honest. I think Tony Finau has a real shot to win. I like the spot for him quite a bit. He's going to be a key play for me. He doesn't grade out super favorably right now, but I'm probably going to manually boost him. He's made every cut this year, coming off a 13th in Mexico. Now, he hasn't played in Florida this year, which is a little unfortunate. I wish he got some reps on the Bermuda, but he's obviously got a ton of experience at the Players. It's never been great for him. His around the green game and his putting at times have let him down, but I still believe Tony Finau possesses everything you need to get it done around Sawgrass. And he's been striking it unreal all year. 6th, 47th, 19th, and 13th last 4 starts. Positive tee to green in all of them. Putting has let him down at times. But Tony Finau is going to be a key play. Sungjae, Corey Connors, Fitzy, you got some iron guys there. This is where AM, PM, PM, AM, maybe if you're stacking some waves, one of them will get a boost. Benny on. That's an interesting, not price tag, because I think it's probably where he should be, but 8,100, reasonably owned, good short game. When he putts, he's been great. He's been great all year, just in general. I think this is a warranted target in the mid-range, 8th at API, 21st at the Classic, 16th at Genesis, going back a little bit. I know we're kind of into the mid-range here. I feel pretty good about it. I think that this is where you can really pepper your lineups, whether you're going Scheffler plus like 3 or 4 from here, or if you're doing the opposite, if you're going like 2 up top, 2 in the middle, 2 down low, and this is a skinny part of the range, there are absolutely opportunities to get in the mix here. And I will lean pretty heavily on the leverage as it smooths out. Right now, it's showing Brian Harman as a huge leverage and Minwoo Lee. I like Harman a lot. Not to say I don't like Minwoo, but Brian Harman sets up really, really well in the spot. And just take a look at kind of what we're getting there. If Siwoo's that popular, you could get some leverage. Looking at Keegan, Harris English, Tom Hoagie. Hoagie's probably going to be another guy people gravitate towards. Good track record here. He seems to know how to navigate the course. When you think of ball striking and irons, he is a name that comes up. But again, all of this is fully customizable. And if you haven't seen this, by the way, let me backtrack for a second. You know, this is the data hub. It's all part of the stochastic tools. You've got contest generator, simulators, all that stuff. That's all the sims. There are so many different ways to effectively build here. And I'll just bring it up right now. If you're looking to get involved, the link is below. Come to this page and read and see your choices. Whether you're just looking for data and you want to just use whatever process you're using, but you want to use our data, that's all here. And you're going to get Discord. If you want data and the Sims, you can get that. And then, of course, if you really want to use the Sims to be that integral part of your process, you can use that as well. And there is no better week. It's the Players Championship. If you want to see if this can make a difference for the rest of your golf season, it's a great time to do it. And if it's not for you, you learned a little about it, but certainly has been an improvement to my process. And I'm still learning things every week with The Sims. You know, we have great tutorials out there, but there's so much customization, so many things you can do. And I'll also talk about, I'll give a shout out to Lineup Generator in a little bit, but I wanted to talk about, these are the core staples of our PGA tools. And a lot of people have had a lot of success, not just internally, but externally. I've been seeing a lot of screenshots with the logo, which is very exciting. Scrolling back down, second part of the mid-range. Again, I talked about Brian Harman and Keegan and these guys. Where do we go from here? Adam Hadwin, Killa Keith, Bez, Grio, Ricky, EVR, Noren. I mean, come on now. Is DraftKings intentionally doing this to me? Bez, Grio, Ricky, EVR, and Noren. Honestly, and Jaeger, those are like six of my golfers that I play incessantly all the time. Grio grades out the best. I agree that Ricky will be the lowest owned, but it's pretty negligible. It's a good range here. I think part of it is going to be separated by small things. So like, say you're going AM, PM, Bez, Grio, EVR, and Noren are AM, PM. Say you're going PM, AM, you know, then you've got Ricky and Jaeger to kind of choose from. That might make the difference. Maybe you're going ball striking heavy. Certainly Grio would get the nod there, because his around the green game is horrendous. Maybe you're going with someone like Noren, who I actually think does set up really well. He was great at the Classic. The irons were on fire there. So this is a really good range, I think, to either land in as your last man in if you're going balanced, or if you go like Scheffler plus one more up top, or even like Rory plus one more up top, you can get two or three from this range. And that's going to anchor the rest of your lineup. Because I do think guys like Hadwin, Grio, Noren, even Bez to a lesser extent, can get in the mix here. We've seen time and time again, the Lahiris of the world get in the mix. The Players is a weird tournament. You see a lot of variance, even amongst a high variance sport like golf. And I'm going to embrace this range. I could conceivably get over if all these guys are hovering 5% on not everyone that's on the screen, but a lot of these guys and taking splashes in the pool. This is one of my favorite ranges. I think you're going to see some real upside here. And if these guys make the cut, it's pretty good value to return all in all. Make some birdies. We can get out of there. You've got Cam Davis is another name. If you're going like off the tee heavy, which I think would be an atypical move here, that's not the worst thing at flat seven. Now we're getting, where are we here? Oh yeah, we got Jimmy Stanger on the page. Let me backtrack because I definitely missed some of these guys. All right, I forgot all these guys. Sorry about that, Doug Gim. Not my intention. Let's talk about the 6K range and what we got going on. Cam Davis, I just mentioned Justin Rose is there. But who do we want in the 6K? If you look at the leverage scores, Eck wrote and Luke List, but it's, these are small finite things. You know, these are pieces of the puzzle. Doug Gim is going to be really popular. I mentioned him in my values video as well. I do think it's warranted. Four straight top 20s, ball striking great, sixth in 2022 here. What's not to like about Doug Gim? Well, he's going to be more popular than the rest of the range at a volatile course. That's the big concern, but that doesn't mean he's going to play bad. Far from it. Bo Hostler's playing pretty good golf. Billy Horschel is playing pretty good golf. He comes to Florida every year and he seems to turn it on. And this year, like every year, he gets to Florida and I ask myself, man, it's not really going good for Billy Ho, but we talked about him at the Classic and he returned a really nice ninth place finish for us. He gained across the board. That was coming off a miscut 41st. And that's what he does. He gets to Florida, he gets on Bermuda, and he knows how to handle these courses. He knows how to handle this element. He's played a lot of Florida golf in his life. So Billy Ho is definitely in play. Matthew Pavone, the guy has been awesome all year. It's hard to deny him at this point. Still don't know week to week what we're going to get. But I've been impressed with him. It's hard not to. I mean, he's followed up a win with a third, with a couple more made cuts. He's doing it with the putter. There's no doubt about it. And I do think that he's behind Doug Gim, Hostler, and Billy Ho for me, but he is worth mentioning. Even Nick Taylor, I think, is a pretty good play here as we work down. Aaron Rye is definitely a name to consider, no doubt about it. He's going to be popular. I don't know where he'll land ultimately. We'll keep an eye on it, but he's going to be a pay down option for a lot of people here. And it's not just because he makes a lot of sense. It's because his range sucks. Sorry, no offense to Andrew Putnam and Patrick Rogers and Andrew Novak, who all I gave a glance to, kind of a cursory look, I guess you could say. It's just not a lot going on there. This is where my philosophy has always been: skill set stacks. What does the rest of your lineup look like? Things like that. Like, Lucas Glover to me makes sense if you're going ball striking heavy. Batia makes sense if you think it plays easier than they're anticipating, or it's really, really soft conditions, because he's a wild man. He can be aggressive, probably too aggressive for TPC Sawgrass if it's not the right conditions. Scrolling down, Ryan Fox has shown he can make cuts in these type of events. He made the cut last year here. He's made the cut in majors. He played decent golf, flipped the irons in his last appearance. But this is a pretty thin range. You've got really low ownership on all these guys, and you've got big boom bust potential. Maybe two of the most volatile players in the entire tournament are Kevin Yu and Taylor Pendrith. When they make the cut, they both seem to pepper the top 10, first page of the leaderboard. But when they don't make the cut, it's not that infrequent. They're obviously not doing anything. Taylor Pendrith, 2024. 10th at Sony, miscut at Amex, 9th at Farmers, miscut at Mexico, miscut at the Classic. Two top 10s, three miscuts. Kevin Yu, 9th at the Classic, miscut at Genesis, miscut at Waste Management, 58th at Pebble, 6th at Farmers, 3rd at Amex. Three top 10s, three outside the top 50. I think that's just kind of what you're getting with these guys. They serve a purpose, because if you strike the right week, boom, big upside at low ownership. But everyone in this range has serious, serious liability to miss the cut. Everyone does in a field like this, let's be real. But as we scroll down, it's going to continue to thin out. Seamus, Justin, Sue, you know, I'll hunt for some positive leverage down here, but I really don't have a ton to really say. Mackenzie Hughes, Justin Hadley, you know, I don't know how low you're going to need to go. For me, unless you're really going Scottie Scheffler plus another 10K option, I don't think you need to get crazy in this range. First of all, any exposure you get, particularly if you're only building, say, like a 20 set, you're going to get over on these guys. I mean, look at these ownership, Justin Hadley types, Sam Ryder, Carson Young is a name that I do think does deserve a little bit of a shout out. He's been playing good golf. He's probably the quote unquote chalk in this range, but there is no chalk in the mid fives. It's just all very, very light ownership. And so you can do this. If you get them through, you have that much more money to play with around them. If not, obviously you've got a big problem. Looking at the 5K range, I think Justin Hadley, Carson Young, and Justin Sue and Seamus. Those four are guys that I will look to hopefully get in the pool when I run the Sims, when I'm playing with Lineup Generator as well. And again, if you have not seen Lineup Generator, I do want to mention that. First of all, two important things. I should have probably led with this. Apologies. We have a sweet offer for Lineup Generator specifically for this week. Specifically. If you're looking for Lineup Generator, say you've never, it says looking for PGA Lineup Generator. Yeah, right here. You can get it for less than $5 just for this week. It's a special. You have to use the code PLAYERS at checkout. Pretty damn sick. You get to use it, test it out under $5 for the week. It is awesome. Fully customizable. It is a great way, if you haven't used anything like this, to what I always say is kind of a stepping stone. It allows you to get your hands on this data. It allows you to customize lineups. You can lock players in. You can build contrarian and chalky. You can swap guys in and out. And again, if you're playing any sort of volume, use the code PLAYERS. You know, $5, less than $5. That is really something to take advantage of. And we'd love to see you guys try it and let us know what you think. Let me know. We're always looking for feedback on how to make these tools better. They're there for all of us. We want to make money here in these tournaments, and these tools can help us do it. So if you see something you say, I wish I had, let us know. We're all about that. But yeah, promo code players. The link is in the description. We will see you in there. What else? Well, we're on the last page now for real this time. I'd be careful down here. I just don't see the need, really. Like, yes, Alex Smalley and my guy Nick Hardy, who I've played a lot, SH Kim. There are names. There's no doubt. It's the Players' Championship. These guys can play. Even guys down here. These are not bad players by any stretch. They just are inconsistent. They're not getting the same amount of starts. And for various reasons, their game is not in the best form. You just have to ask yourself the question that I say every time. By playing Troy Merritt, what are you getting by doing that? If the answer isn't something significant, I don't think you should do it unless you like the play on its own. And I don't like any plays down here on their own. I think the only reason I would entertain anything like this is that I say I have to have Rory, Justin Thomas, and Decky. And I also really want a couple guys in the mid-range that I'm drawn to. And the only way to make that work is for me to play a $5,200 guy. That's the only way I can do it. If that's the case, that's the case. Then you kind of have to work with that. I'm not really drawn to that in this type of build for the players, just because I think it's such a high variance tournament. Kind of my final thoughts here before I bounce it out of here. And again, if you have any questions, hit me in Discord. It's all part of those packages. Hit me on Twitter at JazzRazDFS. I'm always posting golf content. Also on Oddchopper, if you like betting, Oddchopper Golf. I'm going to have probably a larger player pool because there's an element of spray and pray to what this tournament gives us. It doesn't mean just play everybody. You need to take stands. You need to make decision points. But at the bottom in particular, I just think there's really difficult nature honing. And if you don't believe me, just look at the tournament history of basically everyone at this tournament. Even the best in the world, they missed. Rory missed the cut here last year. Scheffler's missed the cut here. Certainly, Xander's missed the cut. Like, you get in trouble here because of the nature of the course, because of the water, because of the competitive field. It's a very difficult place to be consistently good. And in these lower ranges, I'm not willing to say, okay, I'm going to leverage in a way that this guy is going to define my whole week. It's just hard to do that in this type of field. Before I leave you, I know we always get questions, and I'm glad we do, about can we see some FanDuel as well? Let me just bring that up for you guys. Again, super easy. On this type of data, you've got some of these things. You see the projections there, obviously, the good numbers on them, some of the leverage scores. Let's see what we got. We got who's great now. Rory, Harmon, Homa, Wilsey, Cam Young, Keith Mitchell. A lot of bomber heavies. Interesting. Cantlay, Fleetwood, Corey Conner. So a lot of the same names. Again, Doug Gim, he's going to be a huge piece of the puzzle for me this week. No surprise there. Again, fully customizable, what you want to see. But I'm excited, man. Not going to lie. I love the players. It's a tournament that can get a little messy because of the nature of hitting it in the water, but the drama is unreal. The field is unreal and the storylines are unreal. If Scheffler is able to do this, I mean, where do we go from here? The guy is unreal right now, and there's going to be a lot of guys looking to prevent him from taking down back-to-back tournaments and back-to-back players. Ridiculous. So ridiculous. But I think we've shown there are more than one ways to build this week. And it's not just with Scheffler. And it's not just with Rory. You've got balance builds. You can double up north of 10. And you have ample values in the mid-range. Keep an eye on this stuff. Again, as we get more information, it'll probably be some more runs. But I think this is pretty sound with at least what I'm looking to do here. And I hope we see some big-time winners. There's a Millie up top. Again, and that's why we're doing this deal, promo code players for the lineup generator. Like, when there's $1 million up top in the DFS world, I think all eyes set upon it. It doesn't mean you need to just play that tournament, no matter what you're playing. A lot of money up for grabs, and I hope we get a big piece of it. And when we do, make sure you celebrate getting that Hall of Fame along with all of us. That'll do it, friends. Appreciate you guys tuning in. As always, I hope it's a great week for us. So for me, Scottie Scheffler, Rory, Xander. I'm not going to rattle off every name. That would be crazy. But I'll give you one name, Tony Finau. Keep an eye on him this week. Let's have a great week. And for everyone here at Stochastic, thanks for tuning in. Good luck. Enjoy. See you guys next week.